What's up, Eagle Country? Double T Travis there with you here. I know Mondays can be a little bit of a drag, but in particular, I kind of like Mondays because I get to talk a little sports with you here. Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. We have plenty to get to on the show this evening, as you've come to know. 30 minutes nonstop sports conversation, so it comes at you fast and furious as we try to get to as much that is going on in hometown sports as possible. The baseball and softball sectional draws happening last night. We're going to get to that. That's going to take up a bulk of our show. Got some individuals from East Central High School that we want to recognize this evening. A man from the South Dearborn community that was lost last week that had a big role in the sports world and serving the youth of the South Dearborn community for many, many years. We want to talk about Bob Stroutman as well. And I think that's kind of where I want to start. Bob passed away last Wednesday at the age of 84. If you've been to any South Dearborn High School athletic events, particularly girls basketball, girls softball, you probably saw Bob there as a scorekeeper. He has done that for many of years. But he was a coach for St. Mary's 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th grade boys, was the athletic director there at St. Mary's from 1972 to 2018, and actually helped start up many of those sporting programs at St. Mary's School. Refereed basketball, football, umpired baseball for Indiana high schools. He was also an Aurora Little League baseball coach, Aurora summer swim team president. He was the president of the South Dearborn High School basketball boosters, and of course the scorekeeping duties that he had for several years as well. So I know Bob Stroutman is going to be missed, not only in the South Dearborn community, but in surrounding communities as well. And we do want to let everybody know that services have been announced. Visitation is going to happen this Friday, 9 a.m. to noon at St. Mary's Catholic Church, 4th Street in downtown Aurora. Services will be held immediately following visitation at the church, and all contributions, memorial contributions, can be made to the South Dearborn High School Athletic Department. And if you didn't kind of catch all of that information, we do have it posted for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But certainly our condolences go out to the Stroutman family. Bob is going to be certainly missed by many here in Eagle Country, and we thank him for his many years of service to area youth, in particular student athletes here in Eagle Country. So, yes, I know a little sad story to start out the show here this evening, but we will lighten up the mood a little bit as we go on. I do want to transition and talk a little bit about some young individuals from East Central High School. I want to start with Sophie Browndyke, who recently signed her letter of intent. She's going to head off to Cedarville University to continue her soccer playing days, also going to get a great education as well. And she is a great student athlete, a member of the National Honor Society. Her list of accolades on the field, very lengthy as well. EIAC All-Conference team 3 years running. She's been named the EIAC Defensive MVP 2 years. All-district, all-state honorable mention. Also, I was a member of the football team under head coach Jake Miners as a kicker, and did very, very well for herself. All-conference selection for 3 years. All-district player, and also made the academic all-state as a football player. And we mention it from time to time on our broadcast. It's not usual that teams in this area, or really across the state, across the country in high school football, have excellent kickers that can back up and make maybe even a 30-yarder, but Sophie certainly has the leg to make a 30-yarder, 35, 40, so forth and so on. So it was really neat to be able to see her play and excel at East Central on the football team, as she scored them quite a few points over the years, and obviously made her way onto the all-conference team several times as well, but makes her name playing soccer and is going to do that at the next level as well at Cedarville, and she plans to major in sports psychology, so that is a very interesting major as well, as she wants to kind of stick with the sports theme for her career after she is done playing at Cedarville, and of course getting that great education as I mentioned. So congratulations to Sophie Brown. Obviously a great student athlete at East Central High School, going to continue to do some big things at the collegiate level. Speaking of which, it was announced last week that three student athletes from East Central High School have received a scholarship award from the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. They give out three types of scholarships each and every year. And this year, there was 20 individuals that received the Marion Crawley Award. And among them were Cooper Hogue, Casey McQueen, and Caleb Mergenthal. All three seniors at East Central High School played a big role on the basketball team under Coach Disbrow this past year, and each one of those individuals going to receive a $750 scholarship from the IBCA. And to win the Crawley scholarship, you have to have achievement in basketball. All three of those young men, again, like I said, played well and helped East Central to a winning season. You have to have achievement in academics. All three of them young men can certainly get it done in the classroom, and then participation in extracurricular activities and service to your school or community. So three great young men from East Central, well-deserving of this scholarship. And that can go towards some books or maybe put it towards a meal plan, something like that. I don't know what they're going to use it for, but it's awesome to have. And congratulations to those three individuals for racking up that scholarship. Keep it up, I would say. Next up, I guess we can get to the biggest part of our show tonight, and that is talking about the high school baseball and softball sectional draw from last night. I'll start in baseball, Class 4A Sectional 14 at Bloomington South. This is going to feature six teams, including the East Central Trojans, who are currently 9-5 on the season, and a tough draw for the Trojans as they have drawn the defending champ, Columbus North, who's 11-2-2 on the season. Game two of that section, 8-6 Bloomington South versus 9-5 Shelbyville. The winners of game one and two will play in the semifinals. Columbus East and Bloomington North have been drawn into the other semifinals. So it does look like the stronger teams are on the top half of the bracket. Like I mentioned, Columbus North is the defending champion. They knocked off Bloomington South 10-6 in the title game a year ago. Actually played East Central in the first round last year as well. That was a 4-2 win for Columbus North. Great effort from the Trojans. Sam Houston went six innings, gave up seven hits and three earned runs, Trojans had nine hits in that game, but could only muster the two runs. So they'll be looking for a little bit of revenge this year in the first round. Both teams coming into the sectional, at least as of right now, playing well so far this season. You have to give North kind of the nod as the favorite again with that 11-2-2 record, the best of the bunch in this Class 4A sectional. But whoever comes out of the top half of the bracket, whether it be Columbus North, East Central, Bloomington South, or Shelbyville, they look to have a little bit of an advantage over Columbus East and Bloomington North, who are not having as strong of seasons. But some of the standouts so far for East Central sophomore Braden Rouse leading the team, 512 batting average, 9 doubles, 2 homers, 16 ribbies, and 18 runs. And this is a powerful Trojans lineup. Sam Bonds hit 4 homers on 19 RBIs. Luke Vogelsang's gone deep 3 times, 17 RBIs. Luke Mormon, 2 homers, 14 ribbies. And then you have Josh Ringer, Eli Aston, Andrew Roy, Sam Houston. Those guys can certainly do some damage as well. And the Trojans will likely turn to Houston or Daniel Brayton for game one of the sectional. Brayton is 4-0, 0.93 ERA. When you're facing the defending champion in the sectional, I think you got to go with your top guy. So we'll see if Brayton gets the nod, if it actually lines up schedule-wise for him to pitch in that first-round game against Columbus North. But certainly going to be a tough sectional. Any way you slice it, always is for East Central and basically any sport that they play. A lot of good teams in those 4A sectionals. Let's move on to Class 3A Sectional 29 at Rushville. Seven teams. These are all the other EIAC teams, obviously minus East Central, who plays in 4A. Game one will feature Lawrenceburg and Greensburg. You got Franklin County taking on Rushville in game two. Bottom half of the bracket, Batesville, the defending champ, versus South Dearborn, and then Connersville getting the bye. Connersville will be on the top half of the bracket. Sometimes I'm not actually visually looking at the bracket right now. I just have it listed game one, game two, game three, game four, game five, so forth and so on. So actually Lawrenceburg and Greensburg on the top half of the bracket with Connersville with the bye. So Franklin County, Rushville, Batesville, South Dearborn on the bottom half of the bracket. Glad I caught my own mistake there. But this should be a very interesting sectional with all of these EIAC teams that are obviously going to be very familiar with one another once they get to the playoffs. But As mentioned, Batesville, the defending champion, they're having another strong season this year at 12-4. They're in first place in the EIAC at 8-0. They've scored 115 runs and only given up 58, so very strong at the plate, defensively on the mound as well. And last year they went through South Dearborn, Franklin County, and Connersville, and that could set up to be the same this year. Of course, they got to get through South Dearborn in the first round, and South Dearborn's having a heck of a season as well. We'll get to them in just a moment. Actually, those two teams going to play twice to end the regular season and have to turn around and play first round of sectional, so there will be plenty of familiarity there. But a really strong lineup for Batesville: Travis Lecker, Zach Wade, Max Bomber, Grunkmeyer, Jacob Meir, Charlie Shebler leading the charge. Each of those players is hitting .316 or better. Bomber has the team's highest average at .444. So everyone's lumped between .316 and .444 with those individuals. Pitching wise, of course, the 12-4 record for Batesville, but a 3 ERA across the board, 132 strikeouts to 72 walks, so pretty good strike to walk ratio if you are Batesville. South Dearborn, as I mentioned, is having a really great year. They're 10-2 overall, 7-1 in the EIAC, so not only do they hope to eventually knock off Batesville in the first round of the sectional, but they still have conference title hopes, and it might come down to those final two games of the season against Batesville. Again, 83 runs scored for South Dearborn, only 20 allowed. They're absolutely getting it done on the mound, and this is a lineup that can hurt you a little bit from top to bottom. They have seven players with five or more RBIs. Reese and Ryan Willoughby, Dylan Wynn, Corbin McHenry, Max Berger, Gabe Perry among the top performers for this team. South Dearborn pitching, though, this is what really impresses me about this team. 15 earned runs in 82 innings. That's a 1.28 ERA, and Reese Willoughby leading the charge there. 5-0 on the mound, 0.24 ERA, and usually he is backed up by Ryan Willoughby, who can bring it as well. So that is going to be a fantastic first round game, maybe one of the best first round games in any sectional across the state, as you have right now 12-4 Batesville and 10-2 South Dearborn. Those records, there's going to be more wins there than losses for those two teams by the time they get to the sectional, and of course those two big games at the end of the regular season that might decide the EIAC. As for Lawrenceburg, 10-7 on the season. They're going to take on 3-9 at Greensburg in game one of this sectional. Again, going to take place at Rushville. And this is a tricky game for Lawrenceburg. They're 1-1 against Greensburg this year. They won 6-0 when Drew Lanning was on the mound. They lost 14-4 in the second meeting, so it'll be interesting to see who the Tigers will throw in game one, knowing that Connersville awaits in the next round. Drew Lanning's been dominant this year with a 0.57 ERA, 77 strikeouts in 36 2/3 innings pitched. They do have Devin Fluman and Easton Rutzel, who have been very, very solid on the mound. Both of those young men pitched in that 14-4 loss in the second meeting with Greensburg. It was earlier in the season. They're maybe more in a groove now than they were then. This is a Lawrenceburg team that has struggled to hit the ball a little bit. That's why they're maybe a little up and down this year. 10-7, still having a nice season. Kyle Heaney and Andrew Myers provide the most pop at the plate with double-digit RBIs. But this is certainly a very, very talented team that can make a run. And when you have a Drew Lanning at your disposal for a big game, he certainly has the goods to keep you in a game against a really good team. So I think Lawrenceburg, if they can get through Greensburg, they'll have a chance to do something against Connersville. They did meet with them in the semifinals last year and ultimately fell to them. So I know this sectional's kind of lining up like it did last year, and Lawrenceburg's maybe got some unfinished business and a chip on their shoulder. So we'll see if they can get to the title game. I would presume that they would play the winner of Batesville or South Dearborn, as those teams look really, really strong and would likely be favored against Franklin County and or Rushville in the semifinals. Even those two teams couldn't be dangerous in this sectional. They're both playing about .500 baseball, but it's going to be a tricky sectional. Again, all these teams are very familiar with one another, and baseball is kind of one of those games where any given day you can fall to anybody, especially if the pitching good on the other side of the field. So this will be a fun sectional. Class 3A sectional, 29, 7 teams taking a part in that sectional at Rushville. All right, let's move along and talk about the Class 2A sectional 45 at South Ripley. We are talking boys baseball, of course, sectional play here. Here at South Ripley, this sectional will have 6 teams, Switzerland County and South Western will play Game 1, South Decatur and South Ripley in Game 2. The winners of those games will meet in the semifinals. Milan and North Decatur have been drawn into the other semifinal. South Ripley is the defending champion here, but they did lose a very, very good senior class. Brady Linkles playing at Ohio University, Cody Samples playing basketball at Franklin, Bryce Franklin, Logan Eggleston, among others, were a part of this team last year that was really, really strong, and they kind of cakewalked through the sectional just a little bit, but they're having a completely different season this year. Inversale's just 1-7, and looking like it'll take something special for them to win this sectional again this year. They are playing Southwestern, who was the runner-up last year. They're 9-6 so far this year, the second-best record in this sectional. You got Switzerland County at 4-7. Milan's only 4-3. Haven't played many games, but has a talented bunch. North Decatur 5-6 so far this year, and then South Decatur, the favorite based on their record at 13-3. They're hitting .316 as a team and 0.63 combined ERA among their pitchers. So South Decatur looks like they are the favorite. I like what Switzerland County has. They have some pop in their lineup, particularly with Bryce Turner, who's having a really great year. Like I said, Milan hasn't played a lot of games, but that is a talented team as well, and they're only one win away from the championship game, having been drawn into the semifinal against North Decatur. But it looks like South Decatur and Southwestern could be on a collision course in the top half of that bracket. Switzerland County, South Ripley looking to play. Spoiler, again, this will be a fun one. Class 2A sectional 45 at South Ripley. And then the 1A sectional 60 at Jacksonville. Just five teams here. You have Rising Sun at 7-6. They drew Oldenburg in the first round, 3-6 on the season. Jacksonville at 4-7 will take on 1-12 Trinity Lutheran. And then Hauser gets the bye at 9-6. Hauser did win this sectional last year. Looking to repeat, Oldenburg Academy won this sectional last year. Hauser won the softball sectional, which we'll get to in just a moment. But Rising Sun, they look like a particularly strong team in this sectional. Jonathan Jimenez and Peyton Merica have been fantastic on the mound. Peyton Merica over the weekend threw 9 innings and struck out 17 in a win. Absolutely getting it done. So I like Rising Sun to maybe advance into that semi-final round against Hauser. That might end up being the de facto championship game without disrespecting the other teams. I don't mean to disrespect the other teams, but those look like the top two teams in the sectional. And Jacksonville, I mean, they're taking on a team that's only won one game. They don't want to overlook Trinity Lutheran, but certainly seems like a very winnable game for the Eagles. They have some pop in their lineup with Borgman and Swinney and some of these other guys that have been very, very consistent performers throughout the year. So Jacksonville looks like they might end up meeting Rising Sun and or Hauser in the championship game. So and they're the host, so anything can happen. Jacksonville only 4-7 on the year, but they got to be liking the draw they got in sectional 60. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoSensi.com. Let's get into the softball sectional draw here. We'll start in Class 4A yet again, Sectional 14 at Bloomington North, featuring six teams. And wouldn't you know it, East Central and Columbus North drawn into the first game. You got Bloomington South versus Shelbyville. Bloomington North will get the winner of Columbus North or East Central, and Columbus East will await the winner of Bloomington South and Shelbyville. East Central made the title game a year ago. They did lose 6-1 to Columbus North. Lady Trojans 9-5 this season. They did already have a game against Columbus North, lost that one in March 11-0, so that seems like it was an awful long time ago, and this East Central team going to be a little different come sectional time. North 14-2 this season. They've only allowed 9 runs all season long. This is a very, very strong team. Primarily have two pitchers in Rachel Cohen and Maddie Rutan. They have combined for 171 strikeouts and only 11 walks over 101 innings pitched. Their batting average against is 144. So again, this is going to be an extremely tall task for East Central. They do have some quality players up and down the lineup, some pitchers that can go out there and do some nice things as well. I do think in this particular case, with Columbus North being so strong and having those two young ladies pitching the way that they they are. It is going to take a complete effort to win this game in the first round, or so it would seem on paper. But I will tell you this, Columbus North being the favorite in this particular sectional, V Central can get by them, then the sky's kind of the limit. So in one way, it's a bad draw, but in another way, it's a good draw because you have an opportunity to eliminate your strongest competitor right out of the chute. Class 3A Sectional 29 at Franklin County, the host Wildcats drawing Lawrenceburg in Game 1. Franklin County 11-4 on the season, Lawrenceburg 6-7. You got South Dearborn and Batesville in Game 2. SD is 8-9. Batesville struggling this year at 1-12. Connersville, perhaps the favorite in this tournament. The record at least says so. 13-1, they'll play Greensburg. They're at 7-5 right now. That's Game 3 in this sectional. And then Rushville at 6-7 currently. Drawing the bye, they'll get Franklin County or Lawrenceburg in the second round. So any hopes of, you know, a Lawrenceburg-South Dearborn matchup, that's going to have to wait until the championship. Franklin County, again, looking like a strong team in this particular sectional. And I do want to talk about this Lawrenceburg-Franklin County matchup. Could be a really good pitching matchup in Game 1. Courtney Santry's been very, very good for Lawrenceburg this year. 3-3 with a 3.06 ERA. Michaela Furman, 8-3, 1.88. ERA for Franklin County. Haley Palmer, another solid choice for Lawrenceburg. Bree Bischoff for Franklin County. So anyway, you slice it, you're going to get a good pitching matchup more than likely in Game 1. Franklin County, though, their lineup is daunting. 4-16 as a team. Both Furmans, Michaela and Kinsey, have 20-plus RBIs. Macy Lake, Bree Bischoff, Cassidy and Kirsten Schell, Brooke Stang, Josie Rolfus, Ann Becker. I mean, from top to bottom, it is a tough, tough lineup to navigate. Tigers, maybe not as strong offensively. Brooklyn Couch, Ava Hall, certainly having big years at the plate. So Lawrenceburg hoping to play a little bit of spoiler in the first round and steal a win on the road against Franklin County. But like I said, should be a really terrific pitching matchup on paper for that opening game of this sectional. South Dearborn, they have defeated Batesville once. They're playing again tonight. Again, Batesville's really struggling this year at 1-12. South Dearborn has the opportunity to go out and throw Kyra Labazo or Courtney Cornett in that first game. Both have been really strong in the pitching circle. Then with Cornett at the plate, Emma Seaver, Chase Hoskins, Lauren Musgrove, they're kind of leading that lineup right now for South Dearborn, who has a chance to maybe be one of the under-the-radar teams in this sectional. That 8-9 record doesn't necessarily jump out at you, but really a lot of talent on this South Dearborn softball team. They got a good draw playing against Batesville. They might have to go on and play Connersville in the semifinals, which would be a very, very tough game for anybody in this sectional. But I think things are shaping up quite nicely for South Dearborn. But Connersville does look like they are the favorite on the bottom half of the bracket. Franklin County looking as strong a team in this particular sectional on the top half. So perhaps those two teams close in proximity meet in the sectional final, or maybe there's going to be somebody in there that surprises us and has a chance to take home the trophy. Class 2A Sectional 45 at Switzerland County. Six teams here. Southwestern at 7-11 to take on a tough North Decatur team in round one. South Ripley, the defending champions, they'll play Austin in round one. You got Switzerland County at 6-3 awaiting the winner of Southwestern and North Decatur, and Milan will get the winner of South Ripley and Austin. Now, I mentioned South Ripley is the defending champs. Another strong season at 9-2. They crushed Austin 11-1 in their season opener. So they should be the heavy favorite in that game. Maddie Tompkins basically gives them a chance to win every time she pitches. Great hitter, too, at 5.83. Alexa Hype, Brooklyn Brown, Ellie Waldron, very consistent players as well. And Waldron actually offers up a great 1-2 punch with Tompkins in the pitching circle. Switzerland County will be a tough team to beat for Southwestern and North Decatur, whoever wins that first matchup, especially if Lily Sparks is going to be in the pitching circle. 1.29 ERA this year. And then Milan, having their struggles at 1-9. They've only scored 38 runs this year, given up 132. Mackenzie Deffinger, Kenzie Seal, and Audrey Schmidt, they are hitting 400, but not many behind them cleaning it up and allowing them to score. So maybe the bats break out for Milan and they can pull some upsets in this sectional. Class 1A sectional 60 at Rising Sun, five teams. Hauser, the defending champs, they're at 11-2-1 so far this season. They'll play Oldenburg in the first round. Jacksonville at 4-7, drawing 11-2 Rising Sun. And then South Decatur at 2-9 has the bye and will play Hauser or Oldenburg in the semifinals. Hauser and Rising Sun look like they're likely on a collision course in this particular sectional. Hauser, they've been very good this year, 117 runs scored, 33 allowed. Rising Sun's pretty similar at 121 runs scored, 42 allowed. What I like about this Rising Sun team, they're hitting .393 as a team, and Cora Poling and Alyssa Simpson are dominant in the pitching circle, combined 11-1 this year with a 2.82 ERA. These two teams did play earlier in the season. Rising Sun won it 8-6. That was in early April, so perhaps another barn burner in the championship game between those two schools. But we do want to wish all of our area schools good luck in the baseball and softball sectionals, which are going to start up a little bit later on this month. Still plenty of regular season to go. We'll get back into talking about the regular season and where things stand in the EIAC and the ORVC next week. All right, got about 5 minutes left in the show. Want to hit on some quick Reds and FC Cincinnati notes and then talk about the Bengals draft class. The Cincinnati Reds, 3-19 on the season, 11.5 games back in the National League Central. Their season is legitimately over already through 22 games. The next worst team in the National League is the Nationals at 8-16, so the Reds are 5 games worse than the Nationals in the win column. There are a couple 7-win teams in the American League, Kansas City and Detroit, but the Reds have won one game since April 12th. They are absolutely terrible right now. And if you want to know what the record is for the worst record in a MLB season in the modern era, it is the New York Mets went 40-120 in 62. And there's exactly 140 games left for the Reds. They would have to go 37-103 to tie that mark. I don't know if they can win 37 games the way they have played as of late. It's been absolutely dreadful to watch. FC Cincinnati, on the other hand, they're still not perfect, but they are starting to build a little momentum here. They beat Toronto over the weekend 2-1 on the road. They're going to play them again on Wednesday at home, but they're 3-1-5 on the year, so that's 3 wins, 1 draw, 5 losses. They're an 11th out of 14 teams in the Eastern Conference, but it actually is better than it sounds. They're only 1 point off of the playoff line and 8 points out of first place, so this is a team that is much improved, starting to win some more. I mean, they've won as many games as the Reds have, and they've only played 9 times, so it shows you that they're starting to improve and climb the standings. Maybe they'll get another good result against Toronto on Wednesday and be in even better position, but it's just crazy how all the teams in Cincinnati are seeming to do well, except for the Reds. The Cincinnati Cyclones are in the ECHL playoffs. They're about to go to Game 7 against Toledo. You got the Cincinnati Bengals, who I'm going to talk about here in a second, who just went to the Super Bowl, and now it seems like FC Cincinnati is improving while the Reds are going the opposite direction. So, sad to see, but what you going to do? I mean, I tend not to worry about things that I can't control, and I can't control the Reds and what they do right now, so I'll put my energy elsewhere, and right now I want to change my energy to the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so I got about 3 minutes to run through the 2022 Bengals draft class. They started with 7 picks, ended with 6. They did not pick in the 6th round because they did move up a couple of times to get some defensive backs, and that was kind of the theme of the draft. In round 1, picking 31st, Dax Hill, defensive back from Michigan, falls to them. He was rated anywhere between 15 and the early 20s. A lot of people thought that's where he was going to fall on the draft board. He slides to 31 to the Bengals, so an incredible value pick for them there. Dax Hill can play safety. He can play the nickel cornerback, and he ran a 4.38 at the combine. Was a tremendous player for the University of Michigan and very versatile. That's kind of another theme of this draft. So I like the pick. I think he's going to come in and play immediately in 3 safety looks and as a nickel corner. Round 2, pick 60, Cam Taylor-Britt, defensive back out of Nebraska. This is another freak athlete. He ran the same 40 time, 4.38 at the combine. So speed was another theme of this draft, and obviously the Bengals need some help in the defensive secondary. A little thin there, particularly at cornerback. Awuzie and Apple are really your only guys that you got there, and Mike Hilton as well. But beyond those 3 starters, certainly no depth behind them. And then, of course, getting guys that can play a variety of positions helps you with Jesse Bates and Von Bell. Whether something gets worked out with Jesse Bates' contract, or maybe he's gone in a year. Von Bell could be gone in a year. Both both of their contracts are going to be up. So this is not only a play for the now, but the future as well. So I thought Cam Taylor-Britt was a great pick there. And Coach Taylor talked very highly about him in some of the interviews coming out of Nebraska. Zach Carter, defensive lineman from Florida in round three. Guy obviously played in the SEC. I think he had somewhere around 17, 18 career sacks, playing as a three technique defensive tackle, can also line up as a defensive end. So versatility, again, a theme here, and adding depth to the defense. So I like the fact that he played at Florida and in the SEC against some really great competition. That should translate well into the NFL. Cordell Volston, offensive lineman out of North Dakota State, picked in the fourth round. He's primarily played tackle. Does look like he's going to move inside to guard. And this is a veteran player from his college days, having been around for a while. So they think that he has an opportunity to step in and compete for a starting job right out of the get-go. And one of the coolest things about him, he was watching the draft on like a projector screen in his like family's warehouse. It looked like a machine shop, something like that. People were like, oh yeah, he's going to fit in real, real well in Ohio. But I thought that was a pretty nice pick there. Tyson Anderson, defensive back out of Toledo. They like him for his versatility as well. Does look like he translates to be a safety at the NFL level. He's a big body player that also ran fast at the combine. You need fast defensive backs in the NFL. And then round seven, they take Jeff Gunter, a defensive lineman out of Coastal Carolina. Not going to pretend to know a bunch about a seventh round pick, but anytime you can add depth to the defensive line and somebody that can come in and compete at training camp, I certainly think that is a good thing. And from all accords, if you look at NFL.com, Pro Football Focus, the Bengals actually got some really, really nice grades for what they did in the draft. And I was certainly hopeful they were going to address the defensive secondary. They did that. Obviously, they addressed the offensive line with one pick, their only offensive pick, because they did that in free agency, so they didn't really need to go that route in the NFL draft. The only thing that is missing from this draft is I thought that they would take a wide receiver to kind of bolster the depth in that particular room. That did not happen, so we'll see if they'll dip back in to free agency and bring in a couple guys to compete for an opening day spot. But very happy with the Bengals draft class. They have proven that they know what they're doing over the past several years, so looking forward to seeing these guys in stripes. And well, that's all my time. Went over again just a little bit because I wanted to get that Bengal stuff in at the end because it's fun to talk about. Hopefully you enjoyed listening. Thanks to our friends at Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for continuing to sponsor Crunch Time, and thank you for listening each and every Monday 6 to 6:30 right here on the hometown radio station at Eagle Country 99.3.